back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our Wise Conversations brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. I've been talking about the Wise for School program. We'll be telling you more about that and the Maryland Crab Cake Tour getting out this week to Nick's Grandstand Grill in Timonium. We'll be there on Friday from 2 until 5, catching up with Tommy. Leonard Raskin's going to stop by with his son, who did not play in the Rush band at Ohio State, but plays in the other band at Ohio State. He's got a saxophone. We're going to have some fun. It's all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I don't know if I've ever had a crab cake with John Eisberg. I know I've had like bagels and coffee and probably 1,000 press box food things, maybe even back at the Capitol Center where they used to have really appropriate roasted turkey and mashed potatoes and things like that. John, how are you? This is, from the Ravens perspective and at Ravens.com, this is, they get much better than this, like from an excitement standpoint, from where the team is. They've been 4-1 before. They've been 3-2 before. They've been worse than that. But, I don't know that the kinds of wins and the kinds of excitement, it's been the most exciting football season they've ever had at this juncture. We win Super Bowls around here. We've had better years. But for the first 5 games, for the bulk of work, this has been a pleasure to watch.
Well, it's exciting. Let's put it that way. Totally unpredictable, exciting. That's what it is. I mean, you just don't know what's coming next. I mean, predicting these games is crazy. You just, who had Carson Wentz going for 400 yards passing, against the Ravens on Monday night? You just don't know what's going to happen. The Colts come in here, they just won a game for the first time, but they came in here and played a great game. And so you never know. And with the Ravens, I mean, no one expected 5 games in. Okay, the 4-1, maybe people thought that might happen. But with basically the running game disappearing, the defense disappearing, and Lamar going completely nuts, maybe the latter. But it's just not going at all how you thought. And so it's leading to these wild back and forth games. With lots of drama. I mean, it's certainly fun. It's why the Ravens are on primetime games and will continue to be.
John Eisenberg, my one-time, long-time colleague at the Baltimore Sun back in the 1980s, joining us here from Ravens.com, probably working on a book. I'll ask him about that. If you haven't bought the Lou Gehrig, Cal Ripken books or Packers books or Dallas old school stories, find them and I'll get to your next book. But, I'm Baltimore Positive. I want to talk about Lamar, how great he is. That's easy to do. But let's talk about the defense. The defense is not the positive part about this. That is the concern, right? I mean, I think for anybody out there to say, all right, how are they going to fix this? Because to your point, they made the Colts look pretty good. Maybe the Colts were pretty good. And Carson Wentz certainly ran around in that sort of arena football, 7-on-7 sort of everybody's moving kind of way. And the Ravens had a hard time with that. And the Ravens have had a hard time the last couple of weeks. The Ravens had a hard time since they lost Marcus Peters on the back end, for sure.
Definitely. They were missing. One thing I think you do have to take into account is the impact of these injuries that we've been talking about. And everybody goes, well, next man up. And yeah, they got somebody. They can plug them in and they play. However, I think it does have an effect after a while. And they're certainly on that side of the ball. They were down half the starting secondary that they planned for this season. Marcus Peters and Deshaun Elliott against the Colts, both out. Peters out for the year. Elliott, we don't know when he'll be back. Derek Wolfe also, and certainly the running defense, the interior got pushed around on the run. But Wolfe did a nice job on that last year. They need to do way better there. But missing 3 starters out of 11, and then your interior linebackers, both struggling, Malik Harrison and Patrick Queen, struggling with tackles, struggling with coverage. So, that's half your defense right there. And where you're missing guys or guys that aren't performing that well. So it's a problem. You just hope, they've put a rookie in, at safety, Brandon Stevens. He actually made a bunch of plays. So in tackles, you don't want him making that many. But so it's just on the fly adjusting. They need to perform way better. To me, it starts with get better against the run. First things first. But these teams are going to continue to attack them just like Frank Reich did, which was throw it to the running backs, put those linebackers in space, make them cover. It's going to keep happening. So they got to start figuring that out.
John, I used to be a tough guy columnist and, pushing around the first round draft pick the day after when things aren't going well. We got a kid that hadn't gotten out of the field yet. Right. But and 2 weeks ago was Hollywood dropping balls. Right now it's Patrick Queen who just hasn't been, I don't need him to be Ray Lewis. I just need to notice him. You know what I mean? Like, And I know defenses are different. It's a different kind of style that, and what's called upon for Patrick Queen's a lot different than what was called upon for Ray Lewis, where big guys, including Haloti Ngata, were taking on blocks. I got my Royal Farms plug in there for you, John, because I was home in the second half watching Haloti Ngata eat chicken on my television. But Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison and where what that represents and what their hopes were for the position and what happened after CJ Mosley with a lot of money. And I don't look back in any anger. I mean, they didn't either. They're like, hey, the Jets want to pay you that go. I mean, you and I probably talked about it the week it happened. But then there's like, you need that football player. And CJ's pretty good. You know what I mean? That's why he got $18 million. Patrick Queen isn't playing like a guy that anybody's going to give $18 million to.
No, and certainly, and Malik. I mean, that's a first round and a third round pick. You know, Queen, the only thing I'll say is you know, it's not a straight line sometimes with these young players. And it takes a while to develop. And from the get-go, he certainly has the agility, the speed, the side-to-side, you know, sideline to sideline, really making plays from the beginning last year. And certainly looks like he's got the instincts. What's troubling this year is he's not tackling as well. I mean, you're a linebacker. You have to be able to do that. I mean, it's different now than when Ray Lewis was. You have to make plays in space. You have to be agile and you have to wrap up when you're in that position. And so he's struggling there. They knew he was going to have trouble with pass defense. You know, he came in very raw there, very raw in terms of pass defense. So that's a learning curve.
And they knew that coming in and went in on him anyway, yeah. Because they believed he would improve. And we'll talk about that when we get to Lamar. But, you know, there's getting on the field, figuring it out, being okay at it. And then there's how do I get better? It's below the bar, as Coach Harbaugh would say, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're not worried about, you know, his work ethic. They're not worried about his commitment. I mean, as I said, you know, you're a linebacker in the NFL, you need to tackle, you need to make the plays, make the layups, you know, when the guy's in front of you tackling. And so, that's an issue. That's a troubling issue. And they all you can do is, you know, keep going to work and get better at it. But it's going to keep happening. There's no question. I think Frank Reich with the Colts is a really good coach. And he came in with a good game plan, and they just attacked the Ravens where they're weakest. And really, that is those linebackers in coverage. So you saw him on the field a little less, Queen. You saw Chris Borden there for, I believe, 32 plays in that game. That is a real telltale sign. We got to put someone else in there, is basically what they're saying. And they love Borden. So, you know, undrafted guy. So we'll see where it goes, but certainly that's an issue. They also picked on Anthony Averett on the back end. There's you're missing Marcus Peters right there. So you are seeing the impact of these injuries, I think, as well. Really, really, really having an effect.
John Eisenberg can be found at BaltimoreRavens.com and, of course, on the Twitter thing. And we've known each other a long time and been up and down this man. You know, I had Billick on this week, our partner on behalf of Living Classrooms Foundation, still our partner at WNSD after all these years. And we talked about improvement in the quarterback position. And, you know, Coach is famous that, like, guys don't get that much better when they come to the league. They really don't. Like, what, you know, there's incremental changes you can make and things you could do with hitches and seeing the game better. But throwing the ball better and standing in the pocket when it's not what you've ever done. Lamar's different. And you know, I had one of our one of your colleagues on, Mike Chappell, out in Indianapolis last week. We're talking about the Peyton Manning Manning cast, and I haven't watched it, although I hear it's delightful and I'm looking forward to it. But he was talking about this play where Manning was talking about Lamar, and Lamar five different times, Manning's like, throw it away, throw it away, throw it away. And Lamar completed a touchdown pass against Chiefs. And Peyton's like, I would have thrown that ball away five times. Well, Lamar sees the game differently. Literally, he's never had to play the game that way. He sees the game differently. And as the game slows down, I don't know that it's he has to make hard passes. I mean, he's making them better, and that's great. But I think as this thing goes, when you're as efficient as he was, John, those were Superman numbers on Monday night. Just the statistic alone, I'd look at that and say, that's not possible in the NFL to be that efficient, to have that kind of yardage. He's doing some supernatural things, and I haven't heard John say this in a while, maybe because some of us aren't around bothering him anymore, but revolution, right? He called that revolution. So there's a revolution at this point because this kid's caught on and has gotten better and improved when even old sage all farts like, Coach Billick think It's hard to improve that much. This isn't easy to get better at that position.
How about when you're MVP the second year in your league? The second year, how are you going to get better? But it's really interesting because it is a unique path that he's on. MVP is a second-year player, but yet way better, really way better in some respects this year as a pocket passer. It's not even close. And you could see it before that game. I mean, the way he's just in the pocket more and he's more patient. And it was the things they said after the game. Mark Andrews said he's seeing the game really well, and he is, and he's going through his progressions. And you can watch his head, you know, as just a fan, you can watch his head left, right, middle. Sometimes you can see it happening. It's helpful. He's having time to throw. He's definitely having time to do that. The protection has been pretty good, a few sacks here and there, but generally good protection. But what Lamar said after the game is slowing down. It is slowing down for me. To me, that's trouble. The rest of the NFL hears that and they go, we may not want to play that guy because it's slowing down for him. And what I really liked about Monday night, he didn't force anything. He took what they were giving him. He threw deep. The guys were open. Took those underneath routes. No hurry. Even in overtime, didn't panic and say, oh, you know, we got to get 20 yards downfield. Let's take 8, 10, 12, what was open.
I love that they were getting their ass kicked. And they just went back and did it. You know what I mean? Like that unto itself is something that's a grown up thing they did Monday night. Really?
Well, not only that, how about this? How about that? I love when they're going in for a score to cut it to, I can't remember, but it would have been within 4 or 5 points. Fumble at the 1-yard line and they pick it up and run for a touchdown. That's called back, but it doesn't matter because the Colts drive to a touchdown in like 3 plays. It honestly looks like the Ravens are fading at that point, you know, halfway given up. Very honestly, down by 19, they are.
That was hinted on the broadcast too. Lewis Riddick's like, yeah, this isn't a good look for them. They're just getting beaten play after play after play, going down the field, literally.
And from that point, that's the point. And then from that point forward, it's just lights out. That's definitely big boy stuff. And it's the beauty of Lamar. It is the beauty of Lamar. Lamar doesn't look back. He doesn't get down. It's like, I left that one on the table. That was really stupid. It makes me mad. I'm going to go make a play to make up for it. That's just how he approaches it. He's an unusual guy. And if you listen to his press conferences, you know, for a guy that knows he's great and he knows he's great, he doesn't have a huge ego. He doesn't like to talk about what he does well. He likes to talk about his mistakes. And you really say, all right, Lamar, how are you doing all this stuff? He doesn't have an answer for you. You know, he is much more comfortable talking about what's not going well. So he doesn't have a huge ego, but it's just like, man, I messed that up. I'm going to go make up for it. That's how he approaches all of it. So down 19 points, he's not thinking, oh boy, we're sunk here. He's like, come on, man, let's go. It's youthful. It's energetic. It's optimistic. And that's really the beauty of Lamar.
Well, I think the other part of this, if I had any time to spend around him, and I don't, but you know, I would talk about the sacrifices made to get better and what that looks like when you've made millions of dollars and you've been the MVP and, you know, other guys are out in hot tubs with girls at the Playboy Mansion and others are off doing all of that. My wife and I had a conversation about that because he and Hollywood were out running around on scooters out in South Baltimore on an off day when they had the extra day. So it's like last Monday, they put a little Instagram picture up or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, when they're off there, they're running around the city on scooters being idiots because I've seen them interact. They're like kids on video games. I mean, they're unique people, you know, and it's a unique generation that is different. And it feels to me like when you find anyone, and you know this from all these years, that loves football, right? I mean, that was Ray's gift. That was Ed Reed's gift. That's like the gift of all of them. They have to love football. And, you know, I go back to Michael Vick and like his skill set and what he could have been. And one of the real knocks on him is he never really learned the game until he got to Philadelphia, Pittsburgh at the end. And he would admit that, right? That he was just so good. And it was all so street and so run around. Lamar had all of that ability. I mean, he'd been playing the game that way a long time. The structure of Louisville was great. Then you come to the NFL and surviving it meant running around 15, 16 times a game, right? And I think this period where he's shown all of these parts where he's improved. How much time with James Urban, right? And how many the next week when you say focus on the things you do wrong, to sit there and watch. It's hard to watch things you do wrong and get better at them. Like that's the job, though. That literally is the job. It's you have to be ego-free, especially in the NFL, because you're going to get your ass kicked every – there's going to be – Marlon Humphrey got carried 20 yards last week and had to go on Twitter and laugh about it 4 hours later.
Well, that is the job. And with Lamar, it is. I mean, he landed, and I'm sure he's aware of this, or, you know, I don't know. He landed in a good spot. He landed in an organization. I always look at all these young quarterbacks. To me, you know, half the time, these top 10 or first round picks, it's a roll of the dice. Their talent is one thing. Where they land is also really important.
Is this the part where you talk about Kevin Gausman? I'm just kidding. I just had to throw that in, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, a good organization. Where they can support you. The Ravens are a pretty well-coached team. They brought in Urban here, and I'll watch the game, and you know, or sometimes I'll be watching it back. I'll be sitting with people, and they'll say, "Who's that guy? Who's talking to Lamar over there?" And I said, "That I have to tell him who it is. It's James Urban. He's in his ear 24/7. He is all over this guy. He's been coaching him up for 4 years. Right, 4 years."
And you think you cheer for Lamar? He eats with Lamar every day, like literally,
he
right?
Does. And he's never stops telling him, dragging out that iPad. Look here, look what you could have done. And so Lamar definitely has bought into that. They've coached him up. I mean, what he did as an MVP, a second year, was probably more the point in his career, what you were talking about earlier, running around sort of the Michael Vick stuff. What he's got going now is definitely the impact of being coached up for 3 years now into his fourth year, seeing the game differently and being shown how to see the game differently.
And then being held accountable that next week, hey, dog, we won. You know what I mean? Like, that's not good enough here, right? Hey, yeah. We won. I'm going to go, you know, I'm gonna go the things that Michael Vick did, the things that quarterbacks do when they win, which is – you know, get fat and happy. You've seen baseball players, football. Football's hard, man. It's hard to be good. And I think that's the thing we've marveled at with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and the guys that have done it. Not for a week. And look, I had Matt Stover on this week talking about Justin Tucker being in the Hall of Fame and all that. And Mike Chappell's talking to me about Adam Vinatieri going to struggle to get in, you know. And you know what that's all about, that doing it for a minute, for a week, last Monday night, it's that progression of getting better. The growth mindset of Sig Meidel, to take it to the other across the parking lot, right? To say he has a growth mindset, and there really is no stopping that. That's the part of it that all of them that are in love with it love, that we've invested in this kid, and this kid really did get better. And Coach Billick has to pound sand because he said he couldn't and wouldn't. And a lot of people believe that you are what you are, and Lamar is proving everybody wrong, literally.
Everybody, all of them. Look, didn't Andrew say that the other night? There's a lot of people eating a lot of words. It's certainly true, and he's motivated by all that stuff. But yeah, what you said here is really, really true, and that is he loves football. He loves football. He's a gym rat. He just is, and I think the Ravens knew that. You know, he's not a partier. He's a gym rat, and so he really loves to play football. And he, I'm sure he doesn't mind the practicing and all that, but he really loves those games. And so you're just seeing the impact of 4 years of a kid who loves football, really working at it, and he continued to get better. I mean, this is an arc here. We're on it. And, you know, I don't know how high it's going to go, but it's funny to watch, like Calais Campbell, you know, an old pro the other night, they asked him, you know, what do you think about Lamar? And he just started laughing. I mean, he didn't have any words. He had no words. He says, "This is ridiculous, really. It's ridiculous to what he's doing and what he can do." That's the thing. He just laughed. But you just don't see it very much.
John Eisenberg is our guest and our friend, and he's at BaltimoreRavens.com. And dude, for the old guys like you and me, 1 o'clock Sunday, right? A little bit more like Brian Baldinger would say, the life of the fruit fly. Every 7 days, 1 o'clock. Let's get on schedule here. I think we're getting there. Chargers, Bengals, this road, Vikings after that, home games, home cooking. They were Luke came on Monday morning here. Oh, I gotta win by 2 touchdowns. And I'm like, dude, you just whammy their ass at a 10:42 on Monday night. They're going to be losing. I knew this. And you know, it is easy to look and say, well, they're pretty good and they're 4-1 and they're home and they should win the next three. And hey, man, we're going to be 7-1 and chilling out and going to Miami and they suck. And, you know, we have some Bears. We have teams that suck on the schedule next month. And then we have the big games, you know, the Clevelands and like all that's coming up too. Cincinnati's going to be tougher. This is a strange week because the Chargers are far better than anybody thought they were going to be. And this kid, you talk about Lamar being that special guy. This kid coming in here is the other, you know, the prototypical quarterback everybody wanted. And the Chargers are the one that took the chance on him. And he looks like the next big thing, whatever that is, not called Josh Allen, right?
Yes. Also, keep in mind, file this one away, Nestor, the Chargers were the team, in, by the way, in the run-up to the draft that suggested to Lamar that maybe he could run some pass routes. You know, so and he, you think he's forgotten that, you're wrong. But
you haven't forgotten it.
Very interesting. But, you know, yes, the Chargers are really good. But as far as knowing what's going to happen, I'm really sort of reaching a point where good luck figuring this stuff out. You know what? The Chargers coming all the way across the country playing a 1 o'clock game. They could come over here and not show up and lose by 20. And people say, well, he's a young quarterback and they've got a good start to the season. Or they could come in here and win by 20.
You know, well, part of that would be whether, you know, Adafi always chasing him around all afternoon or like literally we've talked about the defense at the beginning. That will be the story. The story will be where the defense is on Sunday to meet this Absolutely. Team that's barely out of bed. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's really the challenge. And Chargers could win that one easily and win the game easily. They could also come in here and lay an egg. You got a young quarterback. And, you know, playing, you know, as somebody used to say over here in the AFC North, playing the varsity, you're playing the varsity this week. And so, you know, some people have not measured up to that test. He's really good. But so the Ravens pretty good at home. You know, it could be a tough game for them, too. I very, very hard to predict what's going on with these games. As I said, I didn't have Carson Wentz going for 400 yards. Good luck. Nobody predicted that. It's very hard to know. I think the Bengals coming in here, that's definitely a tough game. The Vikings, for some reason, smells to me like a game the Ravens win easily. But who knows? I hope the Colts might be the same thing.
John Eisenberg, last thing for you, because I don't want to talk about ethics with Gruden and like we all know it's wrong. I just want to say from a journalism standpoint, this ish used to come out into the light when investigative guys like you at the Baltimore Sun or other people would, John Morgans, would investigate this stuff, get an email, get a tip saying, dude, you won't believe the stuff that John Gruden's right. Now we're at the point where the NFL has 600 billion emails and they're going to decide who they're going to embarrass, whether it's Adam Schefter, whether it's John Gruden, whether it's ethics or whether it's just awfulness or bile or whatever. Man, we're in a really strange place for journalism, for writers, for investigations, for witch hunts. You know, I'm not saying the Gruden thing's a witch hunt, but it was a witch hunt. I mean, they singled him out, went after him after 600,000 emails. And I'm like, well, what else is next? Well, we don't have anything more. Sure you don't. And so now there's a trust issue built into the league for me. Yet again, we're like, I'm not shocked this happened, but I am extremely disappointed that the leadership's been so poor, you know, on all of this, going back to Colin Kaepernick getting blackballed.
Yeah. And those emails, I mean, it's a weird place we're in because guarantee it. What was it? 650,000 emails, something like that. There's stories in there. There's lots of other stories in there. And whoever has that in a folder, those emails is sitting on a powder keg, guaranteed, a number of stories in them. So I don't know how you disseminate that or bring it out other than just throw it all out there. Or, yeah, and you do wish that some really good investigative journalists get on it. That's a whole nother show that we could talk about, Nestor.
What are you authors writing, by the way? I had Seth Wickersham on this week with his book. When's the John Eisenberg author launch party? What are you doing?
I got to write the book first.
I know. What's the book? You going to tell me? Or still
the book? No. I'm doing the story, the narrative, the history of black quarterbacks in the NFL. Going back to the very beginning, all the way through the 50s, 60s, 70s, and into today. And I am at work on it, period. It will not be out. It will definitely be out, hopefully out sometime in 22. I'm writing it as we speak. I've been writing it this year. I'm writing it this fall. And we'll just keep going on it.
Well, I know Shaq Harris. I know Randall Cunningham. I'm thinking, you know, you're writing about all of this stuff. So I will, you're right. And I'll read it, John Eisenberg. I appreciate you coming on. You can follow John's work out on the, on Ravens.com, out on Twitter with some opining, probably watching some baseball with Wick from time to time here. Red Sox, Astros, you know, same old, same old. Yeah. At least we have a great football
team. Not much to root for there.
At least we have a great football team, right? I mean, like, let's celebrate that, right?
Football team. Yeah. I don't know. It's, the ALCS not knocking me out with the rooting interest there.
Yeah. John Eisenberg joining us here. He's Ravens.com. The Ravens kick off against the Chargers this weekend. Of course, Cincinnati next week. Luke is out in Owings Mills. All of that brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. And, you know, Justin Tucker doesn't need any run. It's a Haloti Ngata a week here. So all I say is, like Haloti Ngata did if you come near my fried chicken this weekend. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour coming to Nick's Grandstand Grill, Timonium, 2 to 5 on Friday, all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. Hope to see you there. We are BaltimorePositive.com.